Good evening and welcome to Horror. I'm Lee.
I'm Chris.
I am Adam.
Are you sure you're not your alter ego?
My alter ego, Amos Dayton, conqueror of the world. Yeah. No, it's just me tonight. I haven't got my hair gelled up or anything.
So we are here this evening to cover a film that was discussed in our Christmas We Three Kings episode. Because none of us had seen it, and Adam across the pond very much raved about this film, so we decided it's only fair we should go and track it down and give it a fair go. So we are talking about 1993's The Dark Half. There will be spoilers and there will be swearing, but before that, I think Adam, you've got some housekeeping you would like to cover.
Yes, a couple of episodes ago, we put up a previous episode under the original, under the new episode title. So we got it sorted, and the proper episode was put out. It was one of our we have been watching. But I just wanted to say a big thank you to Forest underscore Walking, who was the listener who messaged me and just said, "I think don't mean anything. I think you put the wrong episode up." And it was at that point that it was like, "Oh shit, I haven't listened." So.
Yeah,
That's very gracious of you, Adam, for us
it
to collectively take that responsibility. But let's be honest, I fucked up. I put the wrong episode up.
yeah,
I don't
but
know how I managed it. I just.
to be fair, it's few and far between. You've done a sterling job, I would say.
Yeah, but in fairness, he messaged and it was on a night we were actually recording. So, you know, I could have listened at 9 o'clock. In the morning when it went up and realized that there we go. So I'm taking collective blame with you. So,
Oh,
Chris, you remain as sweet and innocent as always.
of course.
I never listen. I don't listen to any of our episodes because I hate my voice. And if I
And
listen,
us,
I think if
we
I,
know that. We know.
it
Yeah.
does. The trouble is, you think, like, there you go, look, all the things you could improve about it. It's so hard to shut that part of your brain down, isn't it, when you're listening back?
I think if I listened to a single episode, you would never hear me on this show again. So
Yeah.
it's best
In
for
fairness, it's
everyone.
in fairness, I don't really, and it's there is an element. It's the same. I used to get in trouble in bands that I was in because I'd be like, "Well, we've played that song a lot," and it's like, "Yeah, but it's not like we've recorded it or anything. Can we actually just hit?" Like, "Yeah, but we played it a lot. I'm bored of it now." And it's the same sort of thing. It's like, I don't want to hear what I've already said. Or go back and listen and go, "Oh no, why did you fucking say that? Oh, that's it. You've revealed too much there."
That's part of why I stopped editing them, you know, and they now just go out literally as they go into the mic. Because if I go in and start editing stuff, yeah, then I go, "Oh, I didn't like what I said there. I didn't like this. I could have worded that better." And then
We
I
end
just,
up with like 2 minutes of show.
yeah, exactly. I just cut myself out entirely. So I was like, just let it go out and just forget about it. It's fine.
We just end up
Deal
with a
with the
carpenter's
consequences.
pencil of an episode.
Yeah,
Like, what? I've got a Stanley knife. That's how I'll do it. It's fine.
yes. So if we go over to Adam first, because none of us had seen this film. So, Adam, if you would like to start us off, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I had a listen back just because I wanted to. I just had a listen back to the episode. So obviously, it was Adam from Not For Everyone podcast, and we're basically we did the episode where we discussed various Stephen King adaptations. Both him and Bobby came up with ones that I think Bobby's one you'd seen, Lee, but me and
I
Chris
have,
hadn't, and none of us had seen The Dark Half. Listening back to it, I've said, I think I might have seen it, but I don't remember it. And now I've seen it. No, I've definitely not seen it. So
yeah.
I don't know what I was talking about. I remember the cover from video shops because it was just a cool cover with like the half purple face and the birds, like the sparrows and everything. But yeah, I've never seen it. And I'm rather pleased I've ticked off another George Romero film because it's sort of, yeah, I was just, it's utterly, it feels utterly 90s, but also there's nothing in it that's Like there's no shit effects really. You've got some great practical stuff, and some fucking harsh violence. Like there's bits in that where it's just like, no, that is. I mean, the whole point is that it's this brutal other figure that the author sort of spawns. But yeah, brutal is the fucking word because there's no fucking around. The weirdest thing is though, and again, it's possibly the 90s-ness of it. Is that so? Yeah, obviously, this is spoilers. You should have watched it. Don't care anyway. But so the main character, who is the author, Chad Beaumont, whose alter ego, what is it, Richard Stark? And Richard Stark is like a brutal tulpa from his own imagination of this other author that he writes really harsh crime books under. And yeah, it's weird because basically it's like he's dressed like Tom Waits or Nick Cave.
I thought that he looked like Tom Waits.
Yeah. Because it starts off, and I'll give him his due, Timothy Hutton. I don't know if I know him from anything else. I've got
It
like.
kind of it looks like he's sort of familiar, and yet I don't think I've seen
I
him in
think
anything
he
else.
I think he must have been in stuff I've seen. But apparently, at one point, the people who were offered the same part, the Chad Beaumont, and
I
because
think
obviously he plays
it's
both roles,
Thad Beaumont.
Thad Beaumont and Richard Stark. Is it Richard Stark?
George
George Stark.
Stark.
George Stark. That's it. Yeah, where are we getting Richard Stark from? Oh, I'm overthinking myself. That's where I'm getting Richard Stark from because I know where Richard Bachman came from. So there we go.
The dark
But
half is appearing.
yeah, the dark half is appearing, but it's and I've completely derailed myself there as well. That's a good
No.
start.
Oh,
Some
where Timothy
brilliant
Hutton
starters.
might have appeared.
Yes. Apparently other people who were offered the part were Willem Dafoe and Gary Oldman.
That's
And
interesting.
so I don't know, is Timothy Hutton like badass evil Cooper Timothy Hutton, what we normally get from Timothy Hutton?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
And you know, the nice guy, the sort of everyman bit is not the one we get usually. Because it reminded me when I watched The Shining with Claire, and she said the only thing with it is you're just waiting for Jack Nicholson to be Jack Nicholson. And it would be the same if it was Willem Dafoe or Gary Oldman, you'd be waiting for them to fucking flip out and be George Stark and be evil. You know, so I don't know. Like I say, I don't know if anything sort of. I mean, I've jotted it down, but I don't think it's anything I've seen. He's won an Oscar. He was best supporting actor for Ordinary People. But yeah, I didn't really sort of recognize anything else that he'd been in, so I wasn't sort of like too sure. But I think he's really good
Oh,
as well,
outstanding.
because it's only because I'd done the thing, done the research for it, that I knew that Timothy Hutton was playing both roles. Because initially, I think he does look strikingly different when he's jilted up.
Yeah, to the point where I thought it was for the beginning, even when you saw his face for the first couple of scenes, I thought it was a different actor. He looks so completely different. And it makes sense to have a different actor. But actually, yeah, when you get to the end story and find out it is just the other part of his personality, you think, well, it has to look like him effectively because it's the idea is it's the same skin and a different part of your
Yeah.
brain. So.
Yeah, it's I think that the yeah, just his it did take me a moment even then, especially because you've got Michael. He looks not when he's Jill Stark, he looks not unlike
Yeah, Michael Rooker.
Michael
He's got,
Rooker.
yeah,
Michael
similar hair, yeah.
So we were watching it, and Claire at first Claire said, "Oh, so it's the sheriff doing it." And then it was like, oh no, because I know, because I knew what the thing was about, and I know I've read, you know, I'd unfortunately spoiled it slightly for myself, I suppose. But yeah.
Now, Michael Rooker, he doesn't seem to have aged ever because he looks very similar in this as I've now seen him in Slither
Yeah, and Guardians of the
and Guardians of the
Galaxy.
Galaxy. So Guardians
Yeah.
was the first time I sort of knew of him as far as I knew. And then, yeah, when we saw him in Slither, but I don't think I've seen him in anything else. I know he has been in
He's
quite a few
also
films.
the dad the scary dad in Mallrats, who gets stink
Oh, okay.
palmed, and he is also Henry in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, which means that every time Michael Rooker shows up, my fucking arsehole drops out because I'm like, he fucking done it. Or it's like, he was in the third series of True Detective, and literally there's a bit, the end episode ended and you just got, someone got a phone call from Michael Rooker, and it was the first time he'd appeared in the show, and it was just his voice, and I was like, well, you're dead, Michael fucking Rooker, that's it, you're fucked, mate. You know, although policing, I'm not sure.
Not the perfect role for him.
No,
Well,
well, I mean,
I just mean the sergeant, I think the sheriff was a bit sort of like, oh, well, I've come round here because you've done it, but now I'm just going to come over and have a couple of beers and discuss it with you. And at no point did anyone go, just lock him up.
Yeah,
Because
I
if the
kept
murders
saying,
happen, it weren't him.
that's what I kept saying. I was like, just agree to be in a cell overnight, and then when someone's
Yes.
get killed, you're 100% off the hook. Like, just, I know it's not exactly the Hilton, but you can put up with it for a night, surely, to clear your own name.
Yeah, it did seem a bit a trifle sort of weird. While we're talking of other names, Reggie, the like l the professor of law, folklore. She's from The Haunting. She's Eleanor in The Haunting.
Ah, she
So,
was excellent in this. I thought she was great walking around smoking that pipe.
yeah.
No, she's
I don't.
she.
She had one of my favorite lines as well. The Almighty is on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah, where are
And while was actually Beaumont's wife as well, Liz, I really recognise her. And I said at the time when we were watching it, I was like, I know her. She was a put upon wife in something else in the 80s. And Jennifer quite rightly pointed out all wives in 80s films were pretty much put upon. That was what women did in the 80s, apparently. But yeah, so it was Uncle Buck. It was driving me nuts. But yeah, she was the girlfriend of John Candy and Uncle Buck.
Yeah, she was in Carnival as well. She was Mr. Krabs' sister.
Oh, I haven't seen that in such a
Oh,
long time. I need to
fair enough.
rewatch it. I really enjoyed it, but I remember just being pissed off when it got to the end because I was like, oh, now they've cancelled it, we'll never find out the rest of the story. So,
True.
but yeah.
Julie Harris, who was
Yeah.
Reggie, who was Eleanor in The Haunting, yeah. And yeah, and also Chad's I've said it again, haven't I? Chad. Thad. For
Yeah.
fuck's sake.
Wait, so I thought they did say
Fuck's
Chad early
sake.
on in the film, but I must have misheard it because I was like, what? So
Oh, because it's
well, I'm sure they
Thaddeus, isn't
didn't.
it? It's,
Yeah.
which I can only hear, me and Claire have been rewatching the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes. So I can only hear the name Thaddeus in a ridiculous Welsh accent because of the sign of four. So it's just Thaddeus, you see. But also, there was, oh, and the guy, Fred Clawson, the guy who tries to blackmail him at the start. That's what happens if Tim Roth had run really fast at Steve Buscemi. And but he's in Land of the Dead. He's like the
Oh,
crack shot
yeah.
guy in Land of the Dead.
I've just actually, you saying about the cover of this, like the original VHS cover. It's funny. Again, it clearly is Timothy Hutton in the photograph, but it looks like Stephen King. So again, another story about an author, and the picture on the cover looks exactly like Stephen King.
Well, they've got like the story that he writes, like the first story that he writes as a child is I did jot it down. Here Be Tigers is actually the first short story that Stephen King wrote. So there's a link in there. Also, this is the lake house is in Castle Rock, which is obviously the Stephen King's fictional town. And Sheriff Pangborn's in a few books. He's in Needful Things as well.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
But he's played by Ed Harris in that. And
Yeah.
like the and the deputy is the has the same name in Needful Things and this. And actually the weird thing is Needful Things came out in 93, but this actually was made in 91. Orion Pictures went bankrupt. Then the another film they'd made, Silence of the Lambs, won every fucking Oscar, and suddenly they had a bit of a reprieve, so they had the money to release it. So it actually came out the same year as Needful Things, even though it's like it's actually 2 years old at that point.
Yeah, I've got to put my cards on the table now and say I quite enjoyed this film, but I don't think many Stephen King films make it particularly well to the screen. Even with George Romero, I wasn't terribly drawn in. But I mean, it was a good watch. I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they
I
just
don't
don't
know if
know.
I'd
There's
watch it again, but I would not mind watching it again.
If we were to do it as a watch party or whatever, I'd definitely watch it. But yeah, I don't think I'd ever go to my shelf and go, oh, I need to pull that DVD back off the shelf. I think it's one that's going to just be there to make up the numbers. So, Chris, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I did enjoy it.
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'd say maybe I would say it could have been just a tad shorter and still have achieved what it did. But like, it is a fascinating story. And it's an interesting idea, right? So Stephen King is a writer writing about a writer who has
It's what he always
a
does.
dark half. Well, right, yeah. So, yeah, like, but it's interesting how many times he can do that and it still be effective. And the idea that, like, in order to be able to write the kind of horror that he does, especially when you, anytime I've ever seen anything of Stephen King, he seems like a way too nice person to be able to come up with the sort of stuff he comes up with. And yet that's exactly what this story is a guy who's way too nice and cannot come up with this stuff until he kind of releases this, you know, in a demonic half of his brain. And like, and then that's, so that is really what Stephen King has to do. He does have to kind of engage something that he doesn't want to use in everyday life, because that wouldn't be very good for a successful life, right? But so I mean, I find it's really fascinating. As
Well, it's interesting. Apparently, it's the first book he wrote sober, like after he'd
really
cleaned up. Yeah.
after
So
he cleaned
it's,
up. Okay, so I didn't
yeah.
know anything about his.
Which oh, I mean, I think he's, I mean, he's been on record about drug use and drinking and so on and so
Okay.
forth. And and fuck me, just watch the trailer for Maximum Overdrive if you want to see someone on coke. I mean, it's fucking unreal, but yeah. So he sort of he'd cleaned up by the time he wrote this, and I think that definitely sort of you see that in there. But also he'd done because this is like his 27th book,
Bloody hell.
so you know there was a but so he released other basically he. Himself, Stephen King himself, had an alter ego called Richard Bachman. That's why I kept saying Richard Stark, not Jules Stark,
Okay.
because I'm really
Hold
melding
on.
the two. The brain is sloshing around like
Well,
a
yeah, right. Wait.
lifting
So,
ship.
Stephen King's got an alter ego.
Yeah, and he wrote basically what happened was is that the publishing company that he like was releasing his books would only let him do one a year because you're flooding the market basically, or you're gonna make, you know, you're just sort of overdoing things.
Well, and
So
he was able to write
yeah,
significant books
he was more
more than one
prolific
in
than
a
that.
year.
He wanted to release more. It's a bit like
Okay.
when it's almost a bit like when Prince's record, like Prince had the dispute with Sony, I think it was, where it's like basically they wouldn't let him release even though he'd written like five albums, you know, but they wouldn't let him release them because they were like, well, you know, you're just
That's
putting out too much
too much
product. And he,
Prince.
yeah. And so they'd said, sort of said to him, so basically he did it for that because he wanted to release books, but also, as he put it, he wanted to see if his success was through talent or luck, which again, is one of the most cokey things I've ever heard in my life. I'll be honest, you know, that's,
I find
that's
that really interesting. That's
someone
like,
well, I've got to see if it's luck or you know, it's talent or is it luck? You know, I'm driving myself mad with it. So he began releasing books as Richard Bachman. The first was, or Bachman. The first was Rage, which was released in 1977, which is the same year as he writes The Shining and releases The Shining. So it's quite early in his career because, I mean, I think Carrie's like 72 or something like that. So he'd only written, I think he'd written Carrie, Salem's Lot, maybe something else. And then, but yeah, he wanted to release this this book, Rage, which actually has gone out of print. He allowed it to go out of print because it was about school shooting. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's subsequently sort of dropped out of the anthologies and things like that. It's just, yeah, he's just let that go out of print.
Was it ever implicated in a school shooting?
Oh no.
I hadn't heard that.
No, I think it was just Stephen King was just basically like, well, you can write about horror, but this was a bit too near the mark, so I'll just let it. I'm just going to let it fade out.
That's fair
not
enough.
Be. Because by then people, and I think by the time that that decision was made, people knew that he was Richard Bachman. Richard Bachman. I'm going to go with Bachman because apparently it's named after Bachman Turner Overdrive, the band, because that's what Stephen King was listening to when the publishers basically rang up and said, well, what the fuck do you want to call yourself? And yeah, so he's Richard Bachman. And so he created a fictional biography. So it's a different, and so in the about the author blurb on the books, it's like that a completely different life that Richard Bachman has. He did another four books in Bachman's lifetime, including The Running Man. So, and actually The Running Man is credited as Richard Bachman, not Stephen King, on the screen adaptation. And then he then released Thinner in 1984, and a guy who worked in a bookshop called Steve Brown noticed that Thinner read a lot like Stephen King. He just said it. There was similarities in the style, similarities in the language, whatever. And so this guy then looked into publishers' records at the Library of Congress and found a document that listed Stephen King as the author of one of the Richard Bachman books. So this guy then rang the publishers and said, look, I've worked this out, that Stephen King's Richard Bachman, but I don't know, what do you want me to do? I don't think it wasn't like a black. It wasn't like in the film. Yeah, I don't think it was like a blackmail thing or something like that. And then apparently Stephen King phoned him up, like Stephen King himself phoned this guy up and said to him, "Well, write an article about it, and you can interview me if you want." So he was pretty cool with it, you know. And actually, at the time, Stephen King was working on Misery, which he was going to release as Richard Bachman. But he, but obviously it all came out then, so it just came out to Stephen King. After that all came out, King then declared that Bachman had died of cancer of the pseudonym. but even better than that, they've also, two further Richard Bachman books have been published posthumously, in inverted commas. Both have been found in his Bachman's personal effects by his equally fictitious wife, Claudia Innes Bachman. So they're sort of they're releasing them like sort of two-pack from the archives of a completely fictional author. but you can see how all of this so bleeds into the dark arts and where, you know.
It is a fantastic concept. I've got to say, I didn't dislike the film, as I'm not totally right. It's a fantastic concept, and I think it was pretty well done. But yeah, as you say, finding out the backstory as well was even more interesting. Like, I did love the idea of them having the fake funeral so that they could do the photo shoot and all that stuff. Like, it's just all so well thought out.
But also just that eerie thing where it's like they've cut out the sort of tumour conjoined twin. Like sort of ingested twin rather. But it's been buried in the family plot and come out of it.
And grown into a person, effectively. Yeah.
And that was the thing. It's like Adam said, there's bits of it. I mean, it's like, that was the point where Claire just said to me, "Oh, and this is the film that Adam Von Art recommended." Is the bit where it was like, "Yep, beaten to death with his own wooden leg."
Yeah. I mean, I've got to go back to the effects. I know you mentioned them earlier. That final, I say, big spoiler. Yeah, the final death scene of Richard was, yeah, it looked absolutely brilliant. Like some of the stuff where you see the flocks of birds in the distance looked a bit shonky. But yeah, that bit, which was the close up
The
bit,
actual,
which must have been really hard to do, looked fantastic. Oh,
it did.
it's grim as well. It was so gory.
Because they used, I think they used like 4,000 cutthroat finches, like for the birds in all the various sequences. But all that stuff in the house is all like digital overlay, basically. And I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it looks.
No.
It's a bit like watching Ghostbusters, where you're like, actually, nothing seems too
Too good
cranky
for
or
its time.
clunky in this. You
Yeah.
know, nothing seems that dated or anything else like that. It's just, yeah. Also, and if you can track it down, this is one for Chris, I feel, this one. There is an MS-DOS adventure game based on the book, on the film. It was like released as a
Right.
tie-in. Apparently, it is so poorly received, basically no one has a good word to say about it, but it was like one of those old point and click
I might
adventures.
have to.
But yeah, apparently it's now a collector's item for both gaming fans and Stephen King fans, because it's just so such a weird little offshoot that's out there. But also,
Right.
the weirdest part was, is George Romero, obviously he did Creepshow. Like Stephen King wrote Creepshow for, like George Romero wrote it. Fuck me. George Romero directed Creepshow, which was a screenplay by Stephen King. It wasn't adapted from his books. It was like an original screenplay. But I didn't know this. He's in the film Night Riders, which is George Romero's weird film about people jousting on motorbikes. Like Stephen King's in that. But also at various points, George Romero was attached to the original miniseries of Salem's Lot, the original miniseries of It, The Stand, and the first adaptation of Pet Sematary.
Oh, wow.
But just circumstances meant that he didn't, you know, he didn't finish. Like, he was involved in the production initially, but he never actually sort of got to the end of the project or directed or anything like that. So this was kind of like the first time that they actually got to do that, like of George Romero adapting King, not like sort of going from his film script, as it were.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, it's a very, I'm surprised I haven't heard more about this film. I mean, it's compared to some of the other ones, as you say, that the fact that none of us have seen it, I kind of half knew the name, but not very well. But it definitely doesn't seem bad enough that it should have been forgotten to the, you know,
No,
sands of
I
time. I mean, people talk about sleepwalkers more than they talk about this.
yeah, but then I think that's, is that the thing though, is at least Sleepwalkers has that sort of element of, oh no, you've got to see this.
Yeah.
Which, actually, in fairness, there's not a single person I wouldn't say watch The Dark after.
No, I agree.
You know, I think it holds its own. It's just, yeah. I think, what was it? Again, I keep referring to Claire, but she was just a very inspirational lady while we're watching this. And what was it? Silly, not stupid.
Yeah, I think that is a good way to, with a lot of his stuff, actually, that seems to be a good way of looking at it. Yeah, it's kind of daft, but it never gets into that. So, as you say, the Sleepwalker's so mental, you've got to see this because it's an insane concept.
And
We will
Sleepwalkers
have
has
to do
tons of cats.
Sleepwalker. Yes.
Right, so tell me, the bit where he dies at the end also it did remind me a little bit of Fight Club, the fact, which, you know, it's alter ego
Yeah.
and he dies. But so nobody else could see him dying?
I don't know. I mean, well,
It's
the only two witnesses were the kids. And can I just say, those kids seem to have a great time. You know what I mean? I never saw those kids stressed once.
No.
You know, it's always heartening to watch that, you know. Oh no one felt the need to scare a fucking like no one felt the need to scare a toddler just for the sake of for
Making
the
a
sake
film.
of a film.
Well, it's funny you say that about people not seeing it, because that was my comment. Was obviously Michael Rooker bursts into the room while his alter ego is still being destroyed, and then as the birds fly off and carry away the last of the skeleton, I literally went, "Good luck explaining that to the Marshals Rooker, because there's no way they're going to believe you, and you're going to have to explain where this killer was. Oh, it definitely wasn't him. There definitely was a killer." But I watched a flock of birds carry him away. You're like, yeah, good luck with that one. Oh, your mate, wasn't it? Yeah, we thought so. You're going down and all, mate. But yeah, but then it just cuts. That's the end of the film.
That
Like,
I'm
there's
so
no
pleased with
follow
that.
up, no.
I was so pleased with that though, because no, because that's the point of the film, is you just want to see, you know, does the dark half win or not? And then anything after that, it was like, I don't want to have to watch Michael Rooker trying to explain this, like with two guys with a camera going, you know, you are aware that you're on tape, Sheriff. Sheriff Bangbong. Anything that you say may be used in evidence. Now, run this by us again about a flock of sparrows.
I suppose there's a good sequel for two traumatized twins. Every time they're walking out in the countryside and the birds start tweeting, they go psycho and they have no idea why.
There we go. Well, I mean, I suppose actually it wouldn't have, by the time the inquiry came round, Sheriff Pangborn's already involved in riots because the devil set up an antique shop.
Yeah,
So
true.
I'd imagine it's like that's one of those things where it's probably got lost in the paperwork somewhere.
Oh yeah, you can imagine being the marshal who's but what's happening in Castle Rock now? Oh, for fuck. It's definitely that sheriff. He's at the heart of all of this stuff, and it's all nonsense. None of it
Yeah.
makes sense.
I don't mean anything, but every time I see him, he's a different man. That's just.
Oh yes, so we caught up with this one. On our next episode, we are going to be watching Dreamcatcher. If you thought this film was what the fuck, you wait and see what's coming.
I'll bet. I only know one thing about this film. And please also correct me if I'm incorrect here, because I might be going into it with a song in my heart. But I do understand that the term shit weasel is in this film.
Yes, I believe it is.
Right,
Yes.
okay, that's all fine.
So yeah, that's one to look forward to.
Are we doing Maximum Overdrive after
Right. Oh, I am
that?
so Stephen King'd out. I will be after that. I couldn't do a
We
third one. I'd go nuts.
I think Maximum Overdrive should be, that's distinctly a party episode. We'll save that for the summer.
Yeah. Get a load of beer in, watch it, and record straight afterwards when we're all half tanked up. Right. So, thanks very much for listening, everybody. Go and check out The Dark Half. Go and check out Dreamcatcher, ready for our next episode. And we will see you all in a fortnight. Thanks very much for listening. Good night.
Good night.
You are disturbing my peaceful state of mind. Good night.